The Christian Century asked a specific question about the most important books for one's philosophy of life and vocational calling.
This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host. Today, my guest is David Werther. He is one of the editors of a book just released in 2015 entitled C.S. Lewis's List, The 10 Books That Influenced Him Most. As the subtitle suggests, it focuses on works that has had a significant impact on Lewis. Welcome to All About Jack, David.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, now, I'll have you share about yourself later, but let's start off by having you briefly share how this project came to be and how we know the list is from Lewis.
Sounds good. Our book is the fruit of a conference on the 10 books that most influenced C.S. Lewis. The conference was held in Madison, Wisconsin in October 2012 and was made possible thanks to the generous funding and sponsorship of the Bradshaw Knight Foundation, with co-sponsorship by the C.S. Lewis Society of Madison and the Tolkien and Fantasy Society at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I want to underscore the extraordinary work of conference organizer Sharon Redinger. The conference theme has its origin in a series, Ex Libris, which is published in the Christian Century. In the early 1960s, the Christian Century asked 108 theologians, authors, editors, and other culturally influential individuals for their, quote, top of the mind rather than pondered upon, close quote, responses to the question, what books did most to shape your vocational attitude and philosophy of life? The Christian Century, a self-described progressive and ecumenical weekly, hoped to uncover the intellectual roots of a generation. The largest group of contributors was theologians and religious leaders, among them Karl Barth, Emil Brunner, Rudolf Bultmann, Martin Luther King Jr., Reinhold and Richard Niebuhr, Helmut Thielicke, and Paul Tillich, writers who offered their list of life-changing books included John Dos Passos, Flannery O'Connor, Norman Mailer, Eudora Welty, and John Updike. The June 6, 1962 issue of the Christian Century featured the list of novelist, essayist, and theologian C.S. Lewis. By the way, I find the Century's threefold description of Lewis a little narrow. I much prefer the descriptions in the subtitles to Bruce Edwards' C.S. Lewis, Life, Works, and Legacy: Fantasist, Mythmaker, Poet, Apologist, Philosopher, Theologian, Scholar, Teacher, and Public Intellectual.
And indeed, there were quite a few different types of Lewis, or Lewis's talents were in so many areas. It does him an injustice to just describe three, as you were just noting. Well, now, time won't permit us to discuss all the chapters that are involved, but tell us what they are and who wrote the piece.
We were fortunate to have a truly extraordinary group of contributors. David Downing wrote the foreword. The late David Neuhauser wrote the chapter on George MacDonald's Fantasties. Don Williams penned the chapter on G.K. Chesterton's The Everlasting Man. Louis Marcos wrote on the Aeneid. Don King discusses George Herbert's The Temple. Mary Ritter wrote about Wordsworth's The Prelude. Adam Barkman authored the chapter on Rudolf Bultmann's The Idea of the Holy. Chris Armstrong authored the chapter on Boethius's The Consolation of Philosophy. Paul Tankard tackled the massive tome James Boswell's The Life of Samuel Johnson. Holly Ordway wrote on Charles Williams' Descent into Hell, and Charles Taillefer authored the concluding chapter on Arthur Balfour's book, Theism and Humanism.
Half of the writers have been on my show before, which are Dr. Don Williams, Lou Marcos, Don King, Adam Barkman, and Holly Ordway. And to help my listeners who might not be as familiar with some of the other individuals you mentioned, let's go ahead and have you give some background about them.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Charles Taillefer and Paul Tankard come to mind. Charles is a professor of philosophy at St. Olaf College and the book review editor for Faith and Philosophy, the Journal of the Society of Christian Philosophers. He's written on C.S. Lewis in the Scottish Journal of Theology, in Narnia and Philosophy, subtitled The Lion, the Witch, and the Worldview, and in a devotional work, Praying with C.S. Lewis. With regard to his chapter on Arthur Balfour's Theism and Humanism in this volume, two books he co-authored with Stuart Getz, Naturalism and A Brief History of the Soul, speak to his qualifications. Paul Tankard is senior lecturer in English at the University of Otago. He has published dozens of essays on Lewis and the Inklings and is supremely qualified to write on the significance of Boswell's Life of Johnson, having written two dissertations about Samuel Johnson and recently published an edition of Boswell's Journalism, Facts and Inventions, published by Yale University Press.
Returning specifically to the content within the book, which again is called C.S. Lewis's List, Charles Williams is the only personal friend who made this list. What are a few details Holly Ordway helps us to understand about Descent into Hell? But first, remind the listeners about who she is.
Holly Ordway is professor of English and director of the MA in Cultural Apologetics at Houston Baptist University. She is the author of Not God's Type, An Atheist Academic Lays Down Her Arms. Her academic work focuses on imagination in apologetics, with special attention to the writings of C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, and Charles Williams. One of Charles Williams' key ideas is the doctrine of substituted love. A character in Williams' novel, Peter Stanhope, explains it this way. Haven't you heard it said that we ought to bear one another's burdens? I think that when Christ or St. Paul or whoever said bear, or whatever he Aramaically said instead of bear, he meant something much more like carrying a parcel instead of someone else. To bear a burden is precisely to carry it instead of. Stanhope goes on to say, if you want to disobey and refuse the laws that are common to us all, if you want to live in pride, division, and anger, you can. But if you will be part of the best of us and live and laugh and be ashamed with the best of us, then you must be content to be helped. You must give your burden up to someone else, and you must carry someone else's burden. In Williams' novel, Descent into Hell, Peter Stanhope carries Pauline Struther's burden of fear, and in turn, Pauline carries her ancestor's burden of fear, and in so doing, the divine economy not being bound by time, enables her ancestor to die a martyr's death completely trusting God. Holly Ordway notes the biblical background of burden bearing and considers Leanne Payne's thoughtful objection to the practice and goes on to point out the role of burden bearing in C.S. Lewis's novel, Till We Have Faces. In addition, she considers the role burden-bearing may have played in C.S. Lewis's prayer life. If burden-bearing is a positive theme in Williams' novel, as the novel's title suggests, damnation is the negative theme. Holly Ordway shows us how, as she puts it, Williams peels away the layers of romance about the individual and shows the disturbing way that individuals can willfully self-deceive, choosing the false over the real and the empty over the full. One of the ways Ordway does this is to compare and contrast the accounts of salvation and damnation in Williams' Descent into Hell and C.S. Lewis's That Hideous Strength.
Though Lewis never met Chesterton, The Everlasting Man is another title that was first published during Lewis's lifetime. Who is Don Williams, who addresses this topic, and what does he help the reader learn about this man and his book?
Don Williams is the R.A. Forrest Scholar and Professor of English at Toccoa Falls College, and an ordained minister. He spent several summers training local pastors in East Africa and India for Church Planting International. Among his publications are Mere Humanity, Chesterton, Lewis, and Tolkien on the Human Condition, and with Jim Prothero, Gaining a Face, C.S. Lewis's Romanticism. While each of the books on Lewis's list was crucial for him, Williams argues that Chesterton's The Everlasting Man is perhaps the most significant of all. Acquainting Lewis with the views that Christianity is, quote, that pure and original truth that was behind all the mythologies, like the sky behind the clouds, close quote, and the fact that humans are not just creatures but creators, gave Lewis ears to hear what Tolkien and Dyson had to say about Christianity when the three of them conversed on Addison's Walk, a conversation that soon led to Lewis's conversion. And The Everlasting Man was the source for an argument Lewis is perhaps best known for, the so-called trilemma. Jesus is either Lord, a liar, or a lunatic. Lewis referred to The Everlasting Man as the best popular apologetic he knew. Very high praise indeed, and as strong a recommendation as one could ever hope to hear.
Well, let's pause now from the content in the book to learn more about you and the process of putting this book together, David.
First and foremost, it was a joy working with my wife, Susan, on this project, and I hope we'll have another occasion to co-edit a volume. I have wonderful memories of working side by side with volumes from our Lewis library spread across our dining room table. That said, during the editing process, I became quite ill, and I can say that this volume only appeared, or at least only appeared on time, because my wife Susan did the heavy lifting of copy editing. Next, I'd like to say that along the way, we received some encouraging endorsements from Michael Ward, Devin Brown, Bruce Edwards, Wayne Martindale, Angus Manouge, and Terry Morrison, among others, and these endorsements put wind in our sails. And we both enjoyed our interactions with the chapter's authors and the editors at Bloomsbury. Academics sometimes have the reputation, and sometimes it's deserved, of being a bit prickly. The editors and contributors were, without fail, gracious and generous, and it was a joy to correspond with them. We can only hope that our paths will cross again. By the very nature of the editing process, we paid careful attention to each of the essays, rereading it and checking references many times, and in the process learned a lot from each of the contributors, and our understanding of Lewis was enlarged and our intellectual curiosity piqued.
Well, David, let's have you also share a little bit about yourself, and then your wife is also a co-editor here, so share some stuff about her.
I'm a faculty associate in the Division of Continuing Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I've taught theology in the extension program of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and with Mark Linville, co-authored The Christian Worldview, Analysis, Assessment, and Development. My wife, Susan, is a freelance editor and has worked as a graphic artist and a museum educator at the Department of Geoscience at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Both of us are members of the C.S. Lewis Society of Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, now, this list of titles from Lewis has some wonder why other books didn't make it. What would you say to that?
There are a few points to make. One is that the editors of the Christian Century assume the Bible as a given, and so it doesn't appear on Lewis's list or any other lists in the Christian Century's Ex Libris series. Another is that the Christian Century asked a specific question about the most important books for one's philosophy of life and vocational calling. That question intentionally limits the scope of the response. Lastly, the Christian Century asked their contributors to give their, quote, top of the mind rather than pondered upon, close quote, response to the question, what books did most to shape your vocational attitude and philosophy of life? Assuming Lewis followed the directions and did so, he might well have given some different titles on another occasion if he were asked the same question. That said, the contributors to Lewis's list do a masterful job of showing how and why each of the works in Lewis's list shaped his vocational calling and philosophy of life.
Returning to the book itself that you've co-edited it with your wife, pick two more chapters that the listeners might especially enjoy and give us a preview or taste of what is shared.
In his chapter on the influence of Boethius's The Consolation of Philosophy, Chris Armstrong develops the idea of C.S. Lewis as a public intellectual. In doing so, he builds upon the work of Samuel Jockel, who describes a public intellectual as a figure who defends religious, political, or ideological beliefs in a manner that requires the expertise of a scholar, possessing the critical acumen to engage with proficiency a wide range of complex beliefs, and the communicative skills of a journalist capable of making those complex beliefs understandable to the layperson. Likewise, Paul Tankard, in his discussion of Boswell's Life of Johnson, notes Lewis's role as a public intellectual and comments on the ways in which Johnson and Lewis skillfully play the roles of middle-aged moralists and charitable satirists.
Well, David, I've been enjoying chatting with you, and I encourage people to consider getting this book. Again, it's called C.S. Lewis's List. If individuals want to learn, you know, what influenced Lewis, this is definitely something that they want to consider. But let me have you summarize why people who are interested in the writings of C.S. Lewis would want to learn more about the books he read and why this title can help.
It would be hard to improve on David Downing's comments at the end of his foreword, so I won't try. I'll gladly let David Downing have the last word. David Downing writes, "As the essays that follow ably demonstrate, Lewis's list serves as a kind of double lens, helping us to see classic books in new ways, even while these books help us see Lewis's life and thought in surprising new ways. For attentive readers, the process will come full circle, and they will find new ways to think about their own sense of calling, their own understanding of the universe, and their place in it."
Well, David, there's a lot of different things that we maybe could discuss, but we're going to end there. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, and the book explored today has been C.S. Lewis's List, the 10 books that influenced him most. Thanks for listening to All About Jack, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Be sure to check the show notes for any links mentioned and for a direct link to buying this book. You can accomplish this by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or the location where the audio files are hosted. That's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. At the EssentialCSLewis.com location, you can still get to this podcast. Plus, I have a variety of other articles there as well. This includes a daily fact, quote, and quiz about C.S. Lewis. Also, something brand new that I'm mentioning for the first time here, you can now support this podcast to help keep it freely available. There is a link in the show notes about this, and pledges start at only a dollar a month with some great rewards. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online at EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com. Recent shows include a two-part podcast about a book on Lewis's wife, simply called Joy. I also made this available as a single show. And then recently I did a repeat of a special program honoring the life of Dr. Christopher Mitchell. Episodes released earlier this year include a chat about a recent issue of Christian History Magazine. That's entitled Seven Literary Sages. And then I had a new essay chat this year. It was on Screwtape Proposes a Toast. Again, you can hear those and others by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @EssentialCSLewis.com.